news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
13 people have been charged in an alleged domestic terrorism plot to overthrow the government and kidnap Michigan Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Some of the suspects associated with the militia group that calls themselves the Wolverine Watchmen were allegedly gathering intel on local law enforcement and training to attack the Michigan Capitol building. Whitmer on Thursday thanked FBI agents for foiling the plot and called out the president for, quote, giving comfort to those who spread fear and hatred and division.
So let me say this loud and clear. Hatred, bigotry, and violence have no place in the great state of Michigan. If you break the law or conspire to commit heinous acts of violence against anyone, we will find you, we will hold you accountable, and we will bring you to justice.
Donald Trump and some of his supporters have long criticized Whitmer for her strict approach to coronavirus restrictions. There's been a nationwide increase in vigilante and militia activity in the wake of widespread protests and political uncertainty, and there are legitimate and growing concerns that militia groups will try to intimidate voters as the election nears. So on Thursday, the FBI charged six people with plotting to kidnap Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Seven others, members of that right-wing so-called militia group Wolverine Watchmen, face state charges of targeting police and threatening to instigate civil war. Seriously. Investigators believe some of the defendants participated in armed protests against Whitmer's coronavirus lockdown and plan to put her on trial for treason. This alleged domestic terrorist plot included plans to overthrow state governments that defendants believe are violating the U.S. Constitution. Donald Trump responded, but not like any normal president would, by condemning the terrorists. Instead, Trump attacked Governor Whitmer. Typical. In pandemic news, the United States is now averaging more than 45,000 new COVID-19 positive tests each day. That's more than double the numbers from June. And it's causing more concern for a potentially devastating winter. The CDC is now predicting deaths in the United States could reach 233,000 by the end of this month. And projections from the University of Washington's Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation show more than 2,900 Americans could die daily by January. While countries around the world are revving up their vaccine efforts, China just joined the World Health Organization's COVAX initiative, in which nations are working together to provide global access to effective COVID-19 vaccines. More than 75 high-income countries have committed money to the project. The United States, which severed its ties to the World Health Organization, and Russia are not among them. So Nancy Pelosi raised some eyebrows on Thursday when she said this.
Well, I don't know what the prospects are when we hear people saying I'm young and I'm a perfect specimen, instead of addressing the fact that, what, 50,000 people were infected, reported to be infected yesterday, nearly 1,000 people died. What are we talking about here? Tomorrow, by the way, tomorrow, come here tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the 25th Amendment. But not to take attention away from the subject we have now.
Huh? Well, Pelosi's office announced that she and Congressman Jamie Raskin of Maryland would formally introduce the bill at a news conference on Capitol Hill Friday morning, and they did.
In the age of COVID-19, which has killed more than 210,000 Americans and now ravaged the White House staff, the wisdom of the 25th Amendment is clear. What happens if a president, any president, ends up in a coma or on a ventilator and has made no provisions for the temporary transfer of power? Who has the powers of the presidency at that point? Is it the chief of staff? Is it the vice president? Is it the secretary of state? This situation is what demands action under Section 4.
So Mitch McConnell finally gave one reason for why he has not participated in the on-again, off-again, on-again negotiations over another coronavirus relief package. Trump, the great dealmaker, hasn't participated, nor have any Republican congressional leaders from the House or Senate. But Mitch McConnell explained his absence in a stunning comment on Thursday.
I haven't actually been to the White House since August the 6th, because my impression was their approach to how to handle this was different from mine and what I insisted that we do in the Senate, which is to wear a mask and practice social distancing.
So who has Nancy Pelosi been negotiating with? Well, that would be Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. They reportedly resumed discussions on Thursday, reviving hopes of a possible stimulus deal after Trump abruptly called off negotiations until after the election just a couple of days ago. Pelosi and Mnuchin reportedly spoke for about 40 minutes on the prospect of a comprehensive bill. We'll see what happens. Now about those debates. On Thursday morning, after the Committee on Presidential Debates decided to make the second debate virtual due to precautions because the president is coronavirus positive, the man-child stomped his feet and said he wouldn't participate.
I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. That's not what debating's all about. You sit behind a computer and do a debate. It's ridiculous. And then they cut you off whenever they want.
Biden's campaign rejected a proposal from the Trump camp to push back the next two debates. Kate Benningfield, Biden's deputy campaign manager, said Trump's erratic behavior does not allow him to rewrite the calendar and pick new dates of his choosing. And although Trump is still obviously symptomatic, his coughing fits during an interview with Sean Hannity are proof of that. But his campaign said there was no medical reason why the next debate should not be held in person. They hold out as proof a statement from the White House physician, Sean Connolly, who already admitted to lying on behalf of the president about his health, said that Trump should be able to resume public engagements by Saturday, despite the fact that he is infected with the coronavirus. And where did he get it? Well, it appears that the September 26th event at the White House, where Trump officially nominated Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court, was indeed a super spreader event. At least 34 cases of COVID-19 are linked back to that event, yet the White House declined the offer of assistance from the CDC to do any contact tracing. Let me repeat, the White House has said they will not do any contact tracing from that September 26th event. So, in an extraordinary move, the Washington, D.C. Department of Health is now appealing to all White House staff and anyone else who attended that Rose Garden event to seek medical advice and get tested. So remember the name Elliot Broidy? He's the former Republican National Committee Deputy Finance Chair and one of Trump's top fundraisers in 2016. And he was somehow involved in the paying off of Trump's mistresses by Michael Cohen. Well, Elliot Broidy has now been charged with conspiring to violate the Foreign Agents Registration Act. The charges were filed last week, according to a federal court filing made public on Thursday. Broidy is accused of accepting $6 million from an unnamed foreign client and trying to get Trump administration officials to drop an investigation into Malaysian government corruption. Broidy also allegedly attempted to get a Chinese citizen extradited from the United States. Neither of those efforts was successful. Broidy is expected to plead guilty. In April of 2018, he stepped down from his RNC position after it was reported he had an affair with a Playboy model and paid her $1.6 million to stay quiet about it. And finally, Donald Trump did not get the Nobel Peace Prize. It was awarded Friday morning to the UN World Food Program for its efforts to combat hunger, for its contribution to bettering conditions for peace in conflict-affected areas, and for acting as a driving force in efforts to prevent the use of hunger as a weapon of war and conflict. The organization is based in Rome. It's part of the UN network, and it plays a central role in helping impoverished people caught in or fleeing conflict and is currently addressing major crises in Yemen and Syria. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.